I'll have to put my eyes on so I can see. You know, what a wonderful privilege we have to be able to look at God's word this morning. You know, there are two-thirds of the world that don't have this privilege. They don't have a Bible. And we are so, so fortunate. So join with me as we read some of God's word. We're going to read two passages. And of course, it's in Joshua. And the first passage is going to be in chapter 3. And it's from verse 9 to the end of that chapter. And then we're going to skip over to chapter 4 and read verses 15 to 18. So let's have a look at the first section. God said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hevites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters will flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp and crossed the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest, yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the waters from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarephan. While the waters flowed down to the sea of the Arabah, that is, the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completely crossed on dry ground." Okay, let's turn our attention now over to verse 15 in chapter 4. "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Command the priests carrying the Ark of the covenant Lord, to come up out of the Jordan.' So Joshua commanded the priests, 'Come up out of the Jordan.' And the priests came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before." May God help us to understand his word.
Good morning. It's good to see you all here this morning. Welcome back to those who've been on holidays. There's quite a few of you that are back today. It's nice to see you. Today we're continuing our Moving Forward series looking at the book of Joshua, but let's just pray first. Heavenly One, we want to thank you, Heavenly Father, as Ray has said, for the privilege for us to be able to be here today and to look at your words. And Lord, even though they were written about a people so many thousands of years ago, your word is alive and it's active and it's relevant for us today. And so we would just ask that you would open up our minds to be able to hear the message that you have for us. and that you would enable me to speak your truth clearly so that we can all understand and be able to move forward as you want us to do. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now let me start by saying that I never wanted to be a pastor. I didn't know any women pastors. I'd never heard a woman pastor preach. I didn't actually even know if women could be pastors. So it wasn't on my radar, but it was on God's radar. Over time, God made it clear to me that he was calling me to be a pastor. And he made that clear through the things that I was reading, through the things that other people were saying, but also through what I call the inaudible but unmistakable voice of the Spirit of God, that voice in your mind that you hear. But even when I knew that that was what God was calling me to, I still resisted. I resisted because I was afraid, but also because I saw too many obstacles. So instead, I pursued different ways that I could serve God. I looked at working with the mission agency, Baptist World Aid, and I looked at aged care chaplaincy roles, something that I was really passionate about and thought I could still serve God in. God was very patient with me, but I never felt any real peace. And I didn't feel any peace until finally I said yes. Until finally I said, okay, God, even though I don't know what this is going to look like, even though I don't have the skills, it's not really something that I think I want to do or will be good at, because you're asking, I'll say yes. It wasn't until I was willing to say yes to God that things began to change. I had to step out before God parted the waters. I had to step out. I had to actually take steps to show God that I was willing. So for me, that was saying no to an offer in an aged chaplaincy role. It was letting them know that no, I wasn't interested in that position. And it was sending an email to Steve, the pastor here at the time, asking if I could be interviewed for the student pastor role here. I had to show God that I was serious. I had to actually take steps forward into the unknown before God parted the way and made it clear. When I read through the book of Joshua, I see people just like me. I see men and women who are facing obstacles, who are facing the unknown, who are afraid, but are being called to trust God and to step into the unknown with him. Today we're going to look at the men and women who are finally ready to cross over into the promised land, but something is standing in their way. And that something is the Jordan River. Now, when I visited Israel a few years ago, I went to the Jordan River, and not far from where Jericho is today, so not far from where the Israelites would have actually been standing, being ready to cross over into the land. And this was what it looked like. Now, it doesn't look like much, does it? In fact, you could have walked across it probably without getting your hair wet. But that's not what it looked like when the Israelites got to the Jordan River. When they got there, it looked more like this, because it was the harvest season and the Jordan River was in flood. Now imagine you were one of the men or the women that was standing on the banks of this flooded river. And you know that the land that God's calling you to is on the other side. How do you think you'd feel? Do you think you'd feel perhaps a little bit afraid? Maybe a bit anxious? Maybe a bit excited, but you'd be feeling unsure. You know, I think I would have been questioning God. I think I would have been wondering, why did God bring us here? Why didn't he take us further downstream where the water is much shallower? the river's smaller. Why didn't he bring us here in winter when the water is like it was in the previous slide? What was God thinking? You know, in Isaiah, God says, "My ways are nothing. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine." It's true, isn't it? God's thoughts and his ways are far beyond ours. Where we see obstacles, God sees opportunities. See, in the desert, for 40 years, these people had been completely dependent on God. God had supplied their food, their water, he protected them, he'd even clothed them for 40 years. But now as they enter the land, there's this temptation, going to be this temptation for them to rely on themselves, to forget about God, to put God to one side and to think that they can now get by without his help. They're going to be tempted to become like the people that are living in the land, tempted to accept their practices, to adopt their way of life and make it their own. Can I say that both these two things are really evident in many of our Western churches today? We've become very self-reliant, thinking that we don't need God as much because we have the people or the finance or the buildings. We've also begun to look so much like our neighbours that really you can't tell the difference. But that's not God's plan for his people. And now this flooded river is standing as an obstacle for the Israelites, but for God, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for God to do something that is going to strengthen his people's faith and enable them to move forward with confidence in him. Because this river is actually just the first of many obstacles that they're going to face together. As they move forward, there's going to be many fortified cities like Jericho, which Cameron's going to be talking about next week. They're going to come across many tribes and peoples, enemies, that they're going to have to overcome. And the people that they're facing are used to fighting. They're going to fight hard to keep their land. So if Israel is going to prosper and succeed, then they are going to have to overcome these obstacles. And to do that, they're going to have to trust in God. They're going to have to follow the direction of their leaders. And they're going to have to be willing to get their feet wet. Look what it says in verses 1 to 4. Early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Acacia Grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them. Since you've never travelled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about a half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the Ark. Back in chapter 2, Joshua had sent out 2 spies to go and have a look at the land and the city of Jericho. He gets a report back from these spies, and we're told that the very next morning, Joshua is moving the people into position. He's getting them ready to cross over into the land. He's not leaving any time for their excuses. He's not leaving any time for them to explain to him their fears. And I think that's because he remembers being here 40 years ago, standing in this place, remembering the people complaining and expressing their fears and God saying, "Fine, you are not going to be the ones to enter the land." He's making sure that that's not going to happen this time. So he's got the leaders to go through the camp to reassure the people and to give them these instructions. And one of those instructions is that they need to follow the leaders. They need to walk behind the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant because they are going to show them the way. The Ark of the Covenant was a special box made out of wood but covered in gold. And the Ark of the Covenant represented God's dwelling place with his people. Whenever Israel moved, priests would carry the Ark ahead of them on these poles so that they didn't have to touch it. When they came to cross the Jordan River, the Ark of the Covenant was going to be at the front of the line because God was actually the one who was leading his people. They might be following the priests, but it was God who was leading the priests forward. To the priests who were carrying the Ark, Joshua gives these words. He says, "When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop there." I read that and I thought, who'd be a priest? Who'd be a leader? Joshua says, "You get to go first. You guys are the ones who are going to step into this fast-flowing water." How scary is that? The leaders are called by God to prove that they believe what God says, to prove that they have enough trust in God to step into this fast-flowing water and get their feet wet. God calls the leaders of the people to get their feet wet first, to prove their faith, to put their faith in action. It reminds me of the words that James, the brother of Jesus, spoke to the early churches. He said, "What good is it, brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? Faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless." Israel's leaders had to act on their faith and lead the way, but they don't go alone. God is in front of them, and the people are, I'm sure they're hoping, following behind them. They're in it together. They all had to put their faith into action. They all had to go down to the edge of that river and say to God, "We are willing to get our feet wet. We are willing to walk into this water because that's what God is asking us to do." In verse 15, we're told that as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began to back up at a great distance away at a town called Adam. And the water below that point flowed on to the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Just stop for a minute and imagine that you are one of those people standing on the edge of that river. You're about to walk into a fast-flowing river when suddenly it becomes completely dry. The water from this way stops flowing. The water this side of you completely drains away. The river that one moment ago was just flooded is now completely dry. Now imagine that you're one of the people standing on the walls of the city of Jericho. You're watching this huge group of people crossing over a river that a moment ago was providing you with safety. They would have thought that they were safe in that city because there was no natural way for people to get across and attack them. But God isn't confined to the natural. God is sovereign. That means that he is all-powerful, that he is in full control. He is able to do what we call the supernatural, things beyond our ability and even beyond our imagination. It's not the first time that God has stopped a river from flowing. If you look back in the book of Exodus in chapter 14, you read that under the leadership of Moses, God had opened up a path through the Red Sea for the people of Israel to pass through. Well, now God is letting this new generation see the same kind of miracle, see his awesome power, so that they will be convinced of the presence and the provision and the protection and the power of their God. You know, God could have used a natural way to get his people across. He could have taken them to a shallow part of the river. He could have waited for winter or gone upstream to a place where there was a bridge. But he doesn't do any of those things. Instead, he does something unexpected and amazing, something that they could never have done for themselves. Why does he do that? Because he wants them to believe. He wants them to know that their God is powerful, that nothing is beyond his reach, that he is there for them and he has their back because they are his people. He also wants them to know that he is with their leaders, just like he was with Moses. And that's something that is going to be so important for them as they move forward into the coming years. But you know, God also did this miracle for the people who were watching, for the people who were in and around Jericho, because God wanted them to see and know that Israel's God was the one true God. That unlike their so-called gods, Israel's God is powerful, that he is worthy of their obedience and their worship. You know, in the end, it was only the priests that actually got their feet wet. It was only the leaders. The rest of the people got to cross over on dry ground, but they all had to come to the edge of the river. They all had to be willing to get their feet wet. They all had to show God that they were serious, that they believed enough to walk into the unknown with nothing but their belief and their trust in God. Can we do that? Do we believe enough to step into the flooded river like the Israelite priests? Do we believe enough to hide spies and risk death like Rahab does in chapter 2? Enough to climb over the edge of the side of a boat to walk on water like Peter does in Matthew's gospel? Enough to give away our extra money, our possessions, like the early church does in the book of Acts? The Bible and history is filled with stories of Christians trusting God and stepping into the unknown. Why do we think that it's different for us? The question, though, is do we believe enough to do the same? Do we believe enough to put our faith into action, to walk into this next season that God has for us, essentially with nothing but our belief and our trust in God? You know, I think it must have been so incredibly exciting for Joshua when the Israelites rose to the challenge, when they followed the priests, when they followed the leaders down to the edge of the water, when essentially they said, "We are with you. We don't know where we're going, but we're with you in this." And together they crossed over into the new land. God tells Joshua to mark the occasion by erecting a memorial of 12 large stones and putting them into the dry riverbed, and another one over on the side in a pile. And he gets them to do this so that in the future, when your children ask, what do these stones mean, you can tell them, this is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes, and he kept it dry until you were all across, just as he did at the Red Sea when he dried it up, until we had all crossed over. He did this so that all the nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, and so that you might fear the Lord your God forever. You know, I'm looking forward to us in the future building our own memorial. A memorial to what God has done here in and through us. Us putting something in place that is going to be a reminder to us, but also to future generations, of how God has intervened and enabled us to move forward in spite of the obstacles that we might see and experience. Because we are like these Israelites. We've had our own difficult journey, but we've also experienced firsthand God's provision and his protection. We are now stripped back of all of the things that we might rely on and all of the things that might stop us from depending on God. If you look around, you see that we have less people. We have less pastors, less leaders, and less money in the bank. We are now standing on the edge of our own river crossing. It's something that we're going to be talking about as a church at our church meeting next week. But the question that I want us to consider today is this: as a church, are we willing to get our feet wet? Are we willing as a church to move forward, even though the way ahead of us, I can tell you, is full of unknowns? It will most likely not be easy, and it will sometimes demand more from each of us than we might think that we can give, because that's what it means to walk with God. See, we each get to make a choice. As a church and as individuals, we can choose to just sit back. We can choose to stay on the fringe of God's purposes, or we can choose to say yes and choose to engage and partner with God in what he's doing here. Now, if we choose option one, God will still love us. God will still be present, he will still love us, and life will go on. And God will still bring his presence into this local community. But he'll do it through another church. Or he'll do it through a future generation. Just like what happened with the Israelites. If we choose option two, and choose to engage and partner with God, whilst I know it won't be easy, I believe that we will see and enjoy the most incredible blessing. And I say that because God wants to bless us. In the book of Malachi, God told his prophet there some words that I love. He told the people, bring all the tithe, which is all of your offering, into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. And if you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. This is God's words to his people. He's saying, if you are abundant in your generosity to me, I will bless you. I want us to take God at his words. I want us to try it. I want us to put God to the test and be blessed. God has given us as a church the most incredible vision of what he wants for us. His vision of us becoming a worshipping community that reflects the cultural diversity around us. It's a vision that brings to life the image of Isaiah that we looked at last year, of that diverse planting of trees that causes people to see and know God. It's a vision that is one day going to be fully realised when we stand together in front of the throne of God. But if you look around you, you will see it's already happening. God is already making himself known through us. He is already using our church to bring the presence of Jesus Christ into this local area. He is already using our church to be a community space where people feel welcome and comfortable and cared for, just like they would if Jesus was physically here. God is already using us to help people to discover the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, many of them for the first time. Can I say it doesn't get any better than that? God is already blessing us. We've come into a new season in the life of this church, and God is inviting us to move forward with him, to enjoy the blessing that he wants to give us. But his invitation also comes with a challenge. It always does. The challenge is that if we are willing, then this church and our local community is going to enjoy the blessing of God. If you and I are willing to get our feet wet, willing to see the obstacles that we're going to face as opportunities for making Jesus Christ and his kingdom known here, the challenge is, are we up for it? Are we willing to put our faith into action? Are we willing to get our feet wet? I hope so. Let's pray. Lord, the way forward at times can be quite daunting. It is filled with unknowns, with questions more than there are answers. It's so easy to be focused on the obstacles and to allow them to distract us, to allow them to put us off. But we would pray that your Holy Spirit would be so present with us, that we would see and hear and know the way forward and be willing to walk in it. Lord, we ask that you give us a boldness and a courage to go where we may not have gone before, to walk behind you, and as individuals and as a church, be willing to get our feet wet, be willing to step forward, to put our hand in yours and say, we are with you. We will follow you, and we will believe that you will pour out your blessing on us. May it be so, and I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.